Welcome to the Life Church Podcast. We are an Acts 2:42 community, a family on a mission to bring the life of Jesus to Warrington. We hope you are ready to hear what God has to say to you today through His Word and by His Spirit.
Great. Morning, church. It almost feels like we've had a preach already this morning, doesn't it? Like just time in God's presence, the Holy Spirit. I don't know about you, but I was in worship. God was speaking to me about some stuff, unpacking some stuff with me. And to be honest, my head's still in that place. So I've got to kind of transition now into kind of sharing what He wants to say this morning. So that's my kind of way of saying, just be gentle on me this morning. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Cool. So we're talking about the last words in the gospel this morning, and we're visiting Matthew, and these were Jesus's last instructions to his disciples and to us, and we're going to be focusing on Matthew 28, 16 to 20. And I'm not going to speak for long this morning, because we've had a great time already in God's presence. But I feel it is important to bring what I feel's on God's heart to share with us as a family and as a fellowship this morning. And it's a great word, church. It's one of the best kind of scriptures to bring, because it's about the Great Commission. And Levi's going to bring these words up on the screen if he hasn't already. I'm going to trust Levi on steering the ship this morning. I'm not even going to look at the screen, yeah? So if it goes a bit, you know, Pete Tong, as Lucas would say, a bit wrong, yeah? Then go and have a word with Levi afterwards, all right? No pressure, Levi. Okay, so let's read these scriptures from Matthew. Matthew 28, verses 16 to 20. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the end of the age." So let's take a little quick reflection on those scriptures. I think it's fascinating when I read these scriptures, I don't know if you felt the same, that it says that some doubted, even amongst the 11. And I wondered why. Why did they doubt? Because these are the disciples who walked with Jesus. They'd have seen his work. They'd have been part of his every day. They'll have seen the miracles that he'd have done, even bringing people from death to life. They'd have seen that. So why would you have doubt? That's one of the things that kind of I wondered when I read those scriptures. And it doesn't tell us why, but I believe it's because the resurrection is not something easy to grasp. It was a miracle of epic proportion. And I think some were probably a little bit skeptical. And I think that is, in a way, really comforting for us. And I think that's why it was included in these scriptures. These weren't gullible people. These were Jesus' friends. These were disciples. These were people who had seen all that Jesus did in his later years. And then they've known of all of that, yet still some doubted. And I think it's because if you saw someone days after they died and you saw them in life, then you too would probably be a little bit skeptical. And it took some of them time to believe. So what I'm saying if you have doubts this morning, as a Christian, if you have doubts, and sometimes we might have doubts, let's be honest, then we're in good company. Yeah? And I want to encourage you this morning to say that doubting sometimes is part of the Christian walk. And if his disciples doubted, then we can be a little bit kind to ourselves. I don't want us to stay in doubt land, because that's not where Jesus wants us to be. But the fact that sometimes we might have doubts is normal. Okay? And that's really important. The other thing I want to talk about is this present age that we're in. Man, when I look at where we are, when we look at where we are in terms of society at the minute, it's full of sin, right? It's full of greed. It's full of corruption. But this scripture says one day it's going to come to an end. And we don't know how long that or this age is going to last for. Some say we're in the end times. I believe also we're in the end times. But what I don't know and what we don't know is when that end is going to come. We don't know how long exactly it's going to be in terms of end times. But we can take comfort from this scripture that he says he'll be with us until that day comes, until the end of the age. And then we will be with him in eternity. So again, it's encouragement in the scripture to say, I know that it's tough. I know that this place that you're living out, your life, is not easy. We've heard this morning testimonies of breakthrough and God's goodness. And he's saying, I know it's going to be tough, but I am not going to leave you. And I am going to be with you until the age comes to an end. Hallelujah to that this morning, church. And you just have to look, don't you, at the news to understand that it's tough. But Jesus reigns even in this broken world. We see the pain, we see the rebellion, we see the conflict, we see the corruption, we see all of the brokenness of what this time is like that we live in. Yet he has a plan to reconcile all things to his perfect plan. Satan will be thrown into a lake of fire. We'll suffer pain all day and all night and forevermore. And that's Revelation 20, verse 10. Darkness will be no more. Pain and rejection and greed and corruption no more. And that is the hope that God gives us this morning. And then we have the all authority part. If Jesus has been raised from the dead, which we believe this morning, if he lives, then he reigns. All authority means that everything is going to be reconciled on earth as it is in heaven. And the 11 disciples, they were the new ambassadors for this kingdom, the kingdom of God. Not only that, but he's the important part. He's the crux of the whole conversation this morning. Is not only were the 11 disciples his ambassadors, we too are his ambassadors. That command to go and make all disciples of all nations. I was talking to Pete this morning and we were bouncing off each other some stuff, and he said, you know what, Craig? The important thing to remind us is that it wasn't a suggestion. It was a command. He was telling us to do it. He was telling us to go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them and to obey everything that he commanded them to do. So I want to talk very quickly this morning about responding to the commission. Jesus' emphasis in these short verses were that I've just spoke about. They were in the words of the Gospel of Matthew. They were to the church, they were to us, and we should do what they asked us to do. So today, in 2024, how do we respond and obey Jesus and his words? As John Piper, a reputed kind of theologian, once said, he said, we have three options in responding to Christ's great commission. Go, send, or disobey. And there are many ways to participate with the Great Commission. And each one is an extension, if you like, of what God's calling is on your life. What is he asking you to do? Let's just look at those options that John spoke about. Opportunities to go. You know, I've been privileged to know many goers, as we call them. Some are passionate evangelists, some are equippers, some are disciple makers, some are freedom fighters, some are church planters. I've got one of them sat on the front row here. Some risk their lives to spread the gospel. And many others sacrifice their own desires and plans to do instead what they feel it is that God is calling them to do. And I would say this morning, if you're experiencing a tug on your heart to be a goer, then don't just think that means going to serve overseas in another country. Being a goer can mean sharing the gospel in your community, in your town or your city. And as I look out this morning, I see goers kind of all in the congregation. Yeah? I see Pete, who's been in Scotland all week. I see Steve, who's been kind of Youth for Christ. I see people all over this congregation who are goers. So how do you know if you're a goer? Well, I'd say you need to prayerfully seek what God's going means for you. First, spend time in prayer asking God to guide your steps. He's a God of peace, not of confusion. He will speak into your life. He will reveal a plan for you. There's a couple of scriptures, 1 Corinthians 33, for God is not a God of disorder, but of peace. And Psalm 16:11 says, you make known the path of my life. And secondly, I want to encourage you this morning to invite other people, other faithful believers, into your decision-making process. Asking them to pray for you. Asking them to speak prophetically into your life. And thirdly, I would say this, act. You only find clarity through action. And when you start to engage, when you start to begin to discern what specific things and areas of God's commission applies to you, as you start moving into that, if you start taking steps forward, as you start making plans, God directs you. It's often said that it's easier for God to direct you when you are already on the move. It's like a car, isn't it? If you try directing a car in a direction when it's just stood on your drive, it's hard. That's true. Yeah, exactly, Chris. That's why we're stood up this morning. But it's hard, right? But when your car's moving, it's much easier to direct the direction of the car. And that's what I'm saying, and that's what God is saying this morning, is that in order to find out what your calling is, you've got to be moving forward. You see, church, the believer's role, your role, my role in the Great Commission was never to be stagnant. No matter where you are or whatever specific thing you or I are doing, we should all be sharing the gospel and making new disciples. It doesn't matter what we're doing. That should be our premise. That should be our challenge, and that should be what we are doing. What if you're a sender? How do you know if you're a sender? Well, for those who aren't called to be goers, let me tell you this morning, church, you have an equally critical opportunity in the Great Commission, interceding for and financially investing in the cause of Christ. You see, every goer has to have a support team that they actively pray for someone and they intercede for someone and they help someone. I have a friend called Neil. Okay? Some of you might know him, so I'm going to be very kind about my friend Neil this morning. He attends Life Church Lim when he can, but he leads a mission center in Northwich. And we pray each Monday morning, 7:30, 7:45. Neil's not very good at timekeeping, so it's probably about 9:30 he rocks up. And we pray every Monday morning, and we pray for each other. And I know that his heart is really, a big part of Neil's heart is for Africa and for Uganda. And he goes out on mission 2-3 times a year. When he goes, several hundred people give their life to Jesus. It's amazing. But he would be the first person, if he was here this morning, to say that it only happens because of the prayer and the intercession that goes on before he goes out on those trips. If he was to go in his own strength, if he was to go just believing that he had it and he could do it, he knows that it wouldn't be successful. Now, church, let me be honest with you, okay, this morning. I have no real desire to go to Uganda. Love Uganda. Uganda's great. I think I'd have a great time in Uganda. Am I jumping up and down to go to Uganda? No. But Neil is. So I can serve God by praying into Neil's, you know, going, yeah? I can help him. I might not be able to give him thousands of pounds, but actually, that's God's job. My job is, can I pray for my mate? Can I pray for his future steps? Can I pray for what's in front of him? Can I pray for the family that he leaves behind when he goes to Uganda? Yeah? What is it that specifically he needs prayer for? And on those trips, there's always stuff that needs praying for because the enemy hates it. The enemy tries to bring it down. So he needs a covering of prayer. And I love Neil's heart. I love him. I love the guy. But I also know he's going to face challenges. And I also know he's going to have challenges on himself, that he's going to need someone to stand with him and pray for him. You see, your prayers and provision are equally as important and valuable to the kingdom as those who give their lives to share the gospel. See, there's two parts in this. There's the going and there's the sending. And then we come to the bit about what John Piper said, didn't he? He said about the disobeying. Well, I'm going to turn that on its head this morning. I'm not going to talk about the disobeying because I'm going to take the easy route out. But I'm going to talk about obeying. You see, by obeying his call to make disciples, and this is really important, this is the one thing I really want to get across to the church this morning, is that by obeying his call to make disciples, we learn more about him. And we can understand his heart and his desires for other people's lives and our lives too. You see, obeying isn't a one-way street. Obeying is something that we do, but unfortunately we forget that actually by obeying we're receiving. We're getting something. We're receiving something. You see, obedience leads to personal growth. We might not like it. It might feel uncomfortable at times. It might not be easy. In fact, church, it probably is going to cost you something. I'm not talking just about finances. I'm talking about it's going to cost, I don't know, something. And I tell you, church, if it doesn't cost you something, it probably means it's not worth that much. Because there's a sacrifice. There's something in the obeying that means laying down something. It means coming and offering something. Every command God asks us isn't just for him, but it's for us. The call to obedience, church, is for us. It's for our benefit. And we forget that. So being part of God's global rescue mission is a life of unimaginable adventure. It's rewarding, it's meaningful, and it's beyond our wildest dreams and imagination. Church, why would you want to miss out on that? It's good, isn't it? Yeah? It's not easy, but God didn't say it was going to be easy. But what it is, it's miraculous. So for those who are not actively engaged or you don't feel you're actively engaged in the Great Commission, I want to invite you this morning to listen to what God might be saying to you. Ask him to talk to you. You know, I've recently been asking God to talk to me in my dreams, in my times of resting, and in my times of waiting. And, you know, it's in those times that it's a wonderful opportunity to discover how God is calling us. What role does he have for you in this great commission? If you sat here this morning, some of you will know exactly what that is. Pete talked about it this morning. Yeah? It took him years to develop his identity in Christ, knowing exactly what it was that God had for him. Some of us have probably sat here this morning thinking, well, I don't really know. And that's okay. I want you to know this morning that is okay. I just don't feel that God wants you to stay in that place. So we've got to move. We've got to act. We've got to listen. We've got to encourage. But we need to find exactly what it is that God is asking you to do. How am I doing for time? Okay, got 5 minutes. Jesus also states in these scriptures about all authority in heaven has been given to me. And I just want to cover that this morning, so I think it's really important what that means. You see, Jesus states the basis on which he can command his apostles, he can command us. And you wonder, well, why does he say that? It's because throughout his earthly ministry, Jesus consistently said that he was working with partnership with who? With the Father. He was working with Father God through everything that he did. In Luke, Jesus talks about, and in John, the scriptures talk about the Word became flesh. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So Jesus was with God right in the beginning of time. Everything that was birthed within the Trinity, within God, Jesus was part of that. He had equal authority within the Trinity for what was being said and what was being done. Hebrews chapter 1 verse 3 says, "The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word." After he had provided purifications for sin, he sat down at the right hand of Father God in heaven. He gave new life for those that believed in him. John 5:21 says, "For just as the Father raises the dead and gives them life, even so the Son gives life to whom he is pleased to give it." Jesus came to give forgiveness for sins. We know the story, don't we? When some men brought a paralyzed man lying on a mat in front of Jesus when he was sharing. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the man, "Take heart, son, your sins are forgiven." And at the same time, some of the teachers of the law said to themselves, "This fellow is blaspheming." Knowing their thoughts, Jesus said, "Why do you entertain evil thoughts in your hearts? Which is easier, to say your sins are forgiven or to say, get up and walk? But I want you to know that the Son of Man has the authority on earth to forgive sins." And he said to the paralyzed man, "Get up, take your mat and go home." You see, this is why Jesus was talking about all authority, because his Father in heaven had given him that authority. He worked, collaborated, worked in all that the Father wanted to do. John 5:27 says this, "And he," God himself, "has given authority to the Son of Man to judge," because he is the Son of Man. He not only has this authority on earth, but obviously outside of earth as well. And there's lots of scriptures that talk about the authority that Jesus has. In Colossians, it says, the Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. I could unpack more scripture. I've got a lot of scriptures here. But I think you get where I'm going with this. That the reason that God has given Jesus all authority is because he's in God himself. It's his Father. He understands. He's given that remit to Jesus. And it's important that we see Jesus in that way, to understand that Jesus has all authority. He can say and command us to do what he wants us to do. Some may be offended by that. Some may find that difficult in what Jesus said. But let me tell you, church, it is by his authority that we also can announce Jesus, the Saviour of the world. You see, if it was just us, if it was just you without Jesus saying, hey, Jesus is the Saviour of the earth, then it doesn't stack up to much, unfortunately. It's in the authority that Jesus has that you can stand and say what you say, because you've got all of heaven's backing. There's a difference, church. And that authority, it extends to us. It says in the Word, it says in Scripture, Jesus says, you will go on and do things in my name, even greater than the things that I have done. That's what it says. So what do we think about that this morning, church? How do we deal with that? What does that mean? Well, it means asking yourself this morning, are you a goer? Are you a sender? And are you going to obey what it's asked you to do? And that can look different for every single one of us this morning. But what it doesn't do is it doesn't allow you to be a spectator. You can't stand on the sidelines and watch the game being played out. That's not what God's asked you to do. He says, I need you in the game. I need you playing your part. Whether you're a striker scoring goals in midfield, creating beautiful passes. I'm saying this for Lucas because Chelsea lost yesterday and they played really well. Lucas. They actually were much the better team, having watched the match. But they played through the team beautifully. And that's what Jesus wants us to do as a church family, to play the game beautifully. But you're on the pitch, right? Question, where are you playing? That's the question this morning. Let me pray over you this morning. Father God, I just want to thank you for this word this morning. I want to thank you that you've called us to this amazing, fantastic, superb, above all of our imaginations, kingdom to do something incredible. That, Father God, you've asked us to even be part of your plan is in itself amazing, that you've chosen us to be part of your team. It is wonderful. It's amazing. So, Lord, we ask you this morning, would you help us to understand what it is that you want us to do specifically? Are you asking us to go out into our local community? Are you asking us to go further afield to all nations? Are you asking us to support someone in that place? Are you asking us just this morning to get on our knees and to obey what it is you've asked us to do? Lord, help us to understand that. Holy Spirit, I pray that you'll be on us and help us to point you to God's heart. And Lord, just be with us this morning as we start to unpack what it is you want us to do in your mighty name. Amen.
We've come to the end of this week's message. We hope you've been impacted and inspired. Please keep up to date with everything that's happening by visiting our website at www.lifechurchwarrington.com.